Well, good morning. It's Jeff Wine, host of The Car Show here on Sun Sounds Radio. Folks, once again, we have an action-packed show for you today and catch you up on the latest and the greatest of the world of the automobile. Well, there's a lot of racing to talk about this weekend. NASCAR was in Talladega last weekend as we are in the playoffs, Martinsville this weekend, and the championship race is right here in our hometown of Phoenix, Arizona, and we'll talk about that. Also, some cool events to support. If you can't get out to the track, there's a cool event in downtown Phoenix. Also, talk about a little recap from Barrett Jackson last weekend. Formula One is in Mexico this weekend as well, and they'll be coming to Las Vegas here in the next month or so. We'll also catch you up on what's going on with gas prices. And, of course, it wouldn't be The Car Show without a little car talk. You know what to do. Fasten those seatbelts nice and tight. It's going to be a fast ride on The Car Show. Last weekend, we wrapped up the fall show for Barrett Jackson. I want to give you just a little bit of updates on what happened. The four-day auction had 643 collectible cars that generated more than $38 million in sales. Yeah, $38 million in sales. One of the top 10 cars that were sold, a 2006 Ford GT Heritage Collection Edition for $742,000, a 2006 Ford GT for $660,000, a 2021 Ford GT Mark II, and that went for $605,000, a 1976 Ford Bronco Custom $440, a 1968 Mustang licensed as an Eleanor Collection and 25th Anniversary Limited Edition $429,000. So all of the top five were Fords. That's interesting. Number six, a 1972 Ford Bronco Custom, $379,000. First time we get into something else besides a Ford, a 2005 Porsche 911 Turbo, $341,000. A 2006 Mercedes-Benz SLR McLaren, very cool car there, $330,000. Number nine, a 1963 Corvette split window, 1963, very, very exciting car, $330,000. And rounding out the top 10, a 1957 custom Corvette convertible for $291,000. So it was a blast. It was so much fun looking at all these cool cars. William Shatner, how about that? Helped sell his car. It was a 2011 Porsche Panamera Turbo. It's always good to see Captain Kirk out at these events. That's amazing. For a guy in his 90s, he is still getting it done. So I want to thank Aaron Cook and all the guys out at Barrett Jackson. It was a blast, and looking forward to, before you know it, it'll be January, and we'll be talking about one of the greatest car shows out there and one of the greatest car auctions, the Barrett Jackson. And we'll have more information for you coming up in the next weeks. Well, from the pages of The Drive, the headline reads, Ford Mustang GTD at Nuremberg attempting to steal back the record from the Chevrolet Corvette. Well, it didn't take long. The day the Chevrolet Corvette ZR1X and the ZR1 both beat the Mustang GTD's Nuremberg lap record, Ford CEO personally said he took that as game on, and Jim Farley was deadly serious about this. Well, there's a modified Ford Mustang GTD right now lapping at the Nuremberg Ring, trying to either get some more technical data before they make the big run to try to break Corvette's record, or they are actually trying to break that record. Now, here's what happened. Back in August of 2024, the Mustang GTD, the first American car to go sub 7 seconds at the famous Nuremberg Ring, ran a time of 6 minutes 57 seconds. Well, what happened was Corvette came out, and Corvette set a new record of 6:52 with a Corvette ZR1, and then the new Corvette ZR1X set a lap time of 6 minutes and 49 seconds. Ford said, not so fast. So Ford is back out at the track right now trying to regain the American record for a production car, and we'll see. We love the fact that we've got Chevy and Ford, Mustang and Corvette fighting for the fastest time. Have two races left in the NASCAR series, and last weekend they were at Talladega, And the headline reads, Briscoe vaults into championship four with Talladega overtime win. Well, in a typical dramatic push to the end of the race at the Talladega Super Speedway, Joe Gibbs Racing team Chase Briscoe made a last lap pass on a frantic field to claim victory last Sunday in the Yellowwood 500 and the NASCAR playoffs and earn his first shot ever for going for the championship. The 29-year-old Indiana native will join his teammate Denny Hamlin, who won the week before at Las Vegas, leading the final two positions of the championship four to be decided this weekend at Martinsville Speedway. Briscoe thanked his JGR teammate, 23-year-old Ty Gibbs, for the push forward on the final lap on Sunday that resulted in his first ever Super Speedway win, 1.14 seconds over front row driver Todd Gilliland and Gibbs. Neither are actually in the playoff field themselves. Quote, Ty Gibbs was just an incredible teammate, Briscoe said, who was with his number 19 JGR Toyota waving to the crowd. Honestly, I wouldn't have won the race without Ty. It was an amazing team effort, and I can't believe I finally won a Super Speedway race. I've never done it at this level. Yeah, it's not quite hitting me yet that we're going to Phoenix, grinning Chase Briscoe of his opportunity after only leading 16 laps on that race. Absolutely a dream come true. I'm so thankful for the Lord's blessings, opening doors, and sometimes closing them. And certainly an incredible door has been opened for me here at Joe Gibbs Racing. Today, I had such a peace. Normally, I'm scared to death and nervous around this place, but today, I had my peace. Yeah, it was really exciting as a guy who grew up in Indiana to watch this young man who just less than 10 years ago moved down to North Carolina and was sleeping on friends' couches trying to get a job working at a race shop, sweeping floors, and then finally got his chance to actually drive and has moved his way up. And at 29 years old, he is going to be running for the championship. So Chase Briscoe wins the race. Todd Gilliland finishes in second. Ty Gibbs in third. Bubba Wallace in fourth. Cole Custer, nice run for him, in fifth. Sixth. Carson Hosevar. Tyler Reddick is in seventh. Christopher Bell is in eighth. Zane Smith in ninth. And rounding out the top 10 was Brad Keselowski. Well, sticking with NASCAR news, the headline reads, Byron inches closer to Cup title chance by winning the Martinsville pole. Well, William Byron earned his first pole at the Martinsville Speedway by grabbing the pole for today's elimination race. It was, quote, it was very nice, but this doesn't count for anything yet. I think we're good. I think we're well prepared for this race, and I feel pretty good about my race car. Now, Ty Gibbs qualified in second, Kyle Larson in third, Joey Logano in fourth, and Denny Hamlin in fifth. Larson sits on the bubble going into today's race and would be the last driver to transfer into the title race. He currently has a 36-point advantage on his teammate at Hendrick Motorsports, William Byron. The big challenge right now is that we have several drivers that really must win the race to qualify and go to the Final Four. One of those is Ryan Blaney, who has won this race the last 2 years, but he started a very poor position of 31st in qualification. So he's got his work cut out for him. Both he and Joey Logano probably definitely need to win this race. And Chase Elliott does as well. So we'll find out. That race is on today, and that is going to be on NBC Channel 12. And actually, that race just started. Folks, this time next weekend, we'll be talking and getting ready for the championship race. And if you would like to head down out to Phoenix Raceway, well, the first thing you need to do is you need to go to phoenixraceway.com so you can plan your weekend. But right now we have three races that are going to be happening at Phoenix Raceway. On Friday, we will have the Craftsman Truck Series and their championship race. On Saturday, we'll have the Xfinity Series race. And then a week from today, we will be running the final race of this year's championship season, and a winner will be determined. Right now, we know there's two drivers are going to be locked in. That is Chase Briscoe and Denny Hamlin. And after today, we'll know who's going to be those other two drivers who are going to be racing for the championship. The scenario is, of those four drivers in each series, whichever finishes the highest will be your champion. They don't have to win the race. All they have to do is beat the three other drivers they are racing for in the championship. So if you want some more information, and there's so many different ways to go out and spend time at the track, everything from general admission to VIP experiences to pit passes, and that's all available at phoenixraceway.com. Now, there's going to be a wonderful free event this Thursday in downtown Phoenix, and it's called the Fan Fest, and that is on October 30th, and that is going to be from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. at the Civic Park space in downtown Phoenix. It is a free event, action-packed, great way to kick off the weekend for fans of all ages, featuring driver appearances, live entertainment, some awesome photo ops, cars. Whether you're a diehard fan or a new fan looking to check out NASCAR, it's a great time. So the Phoenix Civic Space is located at 424 North Central Avenue, and that's in downtown Phoenix. That is going to be this Thursday from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. That's the 30th. Going to have live music. Going to have two driver appearances. Ross Chastain and Daniel Suarez are both going to be there at that event. So if you want some more information, you can go to phoenixraceway.com. But looks like a good time and a good way to fire up for the championship weekend. The One is on again today, and they will be in Mexico City. And Lando Norris, driving for McLaren, is going to start on the pole. Outside the front row is going to be Charles Leclerc for Ferrari. Starting in the third position, Lewis Hamilton, one of his best qualifications of the season, going to be driving for Ferrari as well. And starting in the fourth position, George Russell, driving for Mercedes-Benz. And in fifth will be Max Verstappen, who is the former champion, and he is definitely making a push to try to win the title back again this year. The current title leader, Oscar Piastri, driving for McLaren, is starting all the way back in eighth position. So I'll have results for you next weekend for this race. This is a big, big turning point potentially for the championship, and that race is going to be on today, and that race starts at noon, and that is going to be on ABC 15. Mexico. The headline reads, Mexico City promoter urges NASCAR and IndyCar to build foundations for future events in Mexico. Well, the promoter of motorsports events in Mexico City says the Soccer World Cup played a big role in NASCAR not hosting an event in 2026 and IndyCar not coming in 26 as well. But both series needed to build foundations for potential 2027 races. Well, NASCAR hosted a Cup Series event for the first time in 2025, but will not return in 2026. While IndyCar has been working on adding a race to its schedule, but did not formalize and finalize those plans. NASCAR was fantastic this year, and it was a great event, but I think it has things that need to be built on. Next year, we had scheduling problems, and it was difficult. The World Cup right in the middle certainly didn't help things, but I think IndyCar and NASCAR have great potential to grow in Mexico and take advantage of this wonderful fan base. You need to learn to build something. It takes time, just like when we launch a new festival. The first year, there's excitement, but you have to keep on building. Probably after the third edition, things really come into their potential. NASCAR knows they need to build on that, and they're willing to, as well as IndyCar. Because of the current conversations, because of the soccer, we know there were delays. Now, despite there's crossover with the success of Formula One events in Mexico and IndyCar, boosted by the title run of Pato O'Ward and Colton Herta, and pending switch to Formula One. So we'll see what happens. Mexico is excited to have American Racing Series come to their country, but it sounds like we have a little bit more homework and groundwork to do instead of saying we can just fly in and promote a big event. And I'm excited for both NASCAR and IndyCar to continue to promote in Mexico. It's a great fan base and great race fans down in Mexico. And of course, this weekend, we have the Formula One race in Mexico City. Pages of the Drive concept car catches on fire at General Motors Design Studio. in California. Well, a fire broke out at the General Motors Advanced Design Studio in Pasadena, California this week on Wednesday afternoon, per multiple reports, and was initially described by first responders as one of the largest structure fires in the city. According to General Motors, said to the drive staff that all staff and personnel were emergency personnel were safe, and the fire was contained to one concept vehicle. So the blaze was reportedly extinguished shortly before 7:30 p.m. Pasadena studio opened back in 2024. It is one of the General Motors global design hubs and responsible for the California Corvette concept, one of the three futuristic Corvette cars that were shown earlier this year. We are grateful to all employees and first responders, and they're safe and accounted for. The isolated fire was contained to a single design concept car and did not spread to any other vehicles, design concepts, or the building itself. We are thankful for the fire departments and their swift action in extinguishing the fire. Now, the initial report from the Los Angeles Times categorized the incident as a four-alarm fire involving more than 100 firefighters on the 149,000-square-foot campus. Quote, "This is one of the largest structure fires we've seen in Pasadena for many years," according to a spokesperson for the fire department. It was claimed that lithium-ion batteries were burning, filling the facility with heavy smoke and making the blaze more challenging to put out, although there were no flames visible from the building's exterior. General Motors said they're cooperating with authorities in their investigation and assessing the next steps. The facility will be closed for some time now, but they hope to welcome back the staff soon. So it sounds like there's a little bit of discrepancy on what exactly caught on fire and how bad the fire was. So hopefully we'll get some more information about this in the future. Of CNN, the headline reads that a significant group of Americans are falling behind on their car payments, and this could be an economic warning sign. Well, a key group of American borrowers are falling significantly behind on their car loans, yet another sign that the U.S. economy is forming some serious cracks, leaving many people vulnerable to this distress. The percentage of subprime borrowers, and those are the people whose credit scores are below 670, who are at least 60 days late on their car payments, have doubled since 2021. And it's, what's worse is that this was worse than the three previous recessions during the COVID pandemic and the Great Recession, or better known as the dot-com bust. Now, American subprime delinquency rate is the second highest level since the early 1990s. The only time it was greatest was this past January. Cars are being repossessed at the highest rate since the Great Recession of 2008-2009. It's a disturbing trend. According to economists, car loans are typically the last payment that Americans are willing to miss. They're far too important to their lives, essential tools for getting to work, driving families, and accessing food. Record car prices, high interest rates have combined with inflationary pressures have sent average auto payments to record levels and putting significant stress on the car owners. Although financial stress on subprime borrowers has stabilized in 2025 after large increases in late payments and repossessions over the past 2 years, economists fear what might be happening if the labor market grows considerably weaker and layoffs become more commonplace. Well, subprime borrowers are staying current in their car payments, but a percentage of subprime borrowers are at least 60 days late. Now, for subprime borrowers, the default rate, whose cars have been are about to be repossessed, stood at nearly 10% in September, according to Cox Automotive data. The good news is that it's down from a year ago, but higher than the long-term average. Those borrowers often have no opportunity or choice to default. They can't pay for their car. They owe more than it is worth. They often have already missed other obligations such as mortgage payments, rent, as well as things that are due on credit cards and student loan payments. Well, just over half the new car leases, or 3/4 of new cars loans in the second quarter, had monthly payments of $500 or more. And that's 46% of used car payments have $500 or more, according to the folks at Experian. Repair costs have also surged at a time when people are holding on longer to their cars to avoid splurging for the new ones. Motor vehicle repair costs surged 15% year over year in August, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics. And then also over the course of the last 2 years, repair costs have increased 5% between just July and August. Meanwhile, insurance rates for cars have increased significantly since the pandemic. In August, car insurance rates rose by its smallest annual rate in 3 years, but still a 5% jump. So the bottom line right now, folks, we do have some challenges going on with our subprime owners out there, and certainly that's something to take awareness of and be wary of if you are in that position. And the reality is that car payments are going up and insurance is going up and repairs of the vehicles are continuing to go up as well. Heard in unusual automotive news, local NBC station was fooled by an AI video of a racetrack power outage causing a huge crash. Well, the internet's infatuation with AI slop is spiraling, and you certainly don't need me to tell you all about that. But a phony clip of a dirt car race did more than fool people. The NBC Chicago aired a short segment Wednesday which featured a video from Weber Valley Speedway, and the fake footage shows the entire field of a late model dirt car crash on the track because the lights were turned off at the track. Now, on its own, it isn't entirely unbelievable, but the reality is the station missed some of the crucial clues that this wasn't really a true crash. We found out later that the power company in the area had cut the power off because the owners hadn't paid their electricity bill on time. And then, of course, in the fooled video, it said the track gave each one of the car owners $5 extra to go to repair work. The video is pretty funny. It's interesting. This track has 340,000 followers on Facebook and 40,000 followers on Instagram. The TV station might have known this if they'd done their research, because they've also posted videos of the space shuttle landing and crashing at the track and a possum smoking a cigarette giving a thumbs up. So, yeah, once again, a news outlet fooled by some AI trickery, and the video is pretty believable, so I can understand how they might have been fooled. Well, time to talk with some gas prices from our friends at AAA. Right now, the average gas price across the United States is down. Average gas price is $3.05. Here in Arizona, our average gas price is $3.33. Our friends over in New Mexico, $2.85. Colorado, $2.89, Utah, $3.27, Nevada, $3.79, over in California, slightly down for the first time I've seen in a while, $4.59. If you head east, Texas, $2.61, $2.61 in Oklahoma as well. All right, let's see what's going on with our prices here in Arizona. Well, if you're looking for some cheap gas, you need to head south down to our friends in Sierra Vista. The 76 station in Sierra Vista, $2.49. The Speedway in Sierra Vista, $2.55. The Circle K in Sierra Vista, $2.59, as well as the Fry's gas station. Parker, you can get gas at the Terrible Herbst station for $2.61. If you're up in Winslow, you can find some cheap gas, $2.66 at the 76 station. And how about this? Tucson cracking in. The Costco on Grant Road in Tucson selling gas for $2.69 a gallon. Well, it's nice to see the fact that we have finally found some gas that is going to be under $3 a gallon here in Metro Phoenix. $2.89 will get you cash. Now, that's not credit card, cash. At the 76 station at 1925 North Scottsdale Road in Tempe. The mobile station on 8316 West Indian School, $2.99 for cash. The Sinclair station, which I try to go to when I'm on that side of town, at 304 North Hayden Road in Scottsdale, $2.99. The Marathon station on Southern Avenue in Mesa at $2.99. Costco on West McDowell in Avondale at $3.09. Sam's Club, a bunch of the Sam's Club all around the city at $3.09 as well. So it's nice to see gas continuing to come down here in Metro Phoenix. And right now, that is a wonderful and pleasant trend. Peek at world gas prices. Well, certainly we know that the three least expensive gas places in the world, Libya, Iran, and Venezuela, all have gasoline for less than 13 cents a gallon. Yeah, that's 13 cents a gallon. You move into the USA, according to this group, at $3.40 a gallon. Then you get to the most expensive gas in the world. The top three, Israel at $8.60 a gallon. Iceland at $9.29 a gallon. And the most expensive gas in the world, Hong Kong, $13.85. We've come to that part of the show. Time for a little car talk. Dear Car Talk, I have a 2020 Toyota Camry Hybrid XLE, and like many cars these days, it has automatic transmission with an option to shift the gears manually. Sometimes I forget to shift out of the manual mode and find myself traveling faster than I should in a lower gear, like 50 in third gear. Am I doing any damage to my transmission? And that's from Scott. No, but you might want to turn down the green day on your car stereo from 10 to 9, Scott. Cars are getting smarter all the time, Scott. They actually surpassed my IQ sometime around 1998. Now, in the past, it was possible to damage your engine by downshifting at too high a speed or going too fast in a lower gear, but you really can't do that anymore. Several decades ago, you could actually rev your engine that way, causing catastrophic damage. You could actually blow your engine apart. You could make the engine turn so quickly. But engines today are controlled by computers now, and that computer knows how fast the engine is turning. When the engine speed nears its predetermined limit, the computer will now reduce the fuel supply to prevent the engine from going any faster. If you've ever driven a modern car with a manual transmission, you may have experienced this loss of power when you reach the tachometer's red line. Now, the computer also controls the transmission, so it won't even let you downshift into a gear that you're going too fast for that particular gear. Now, on a lot of cars with automatic transmissions and manual shift options, if you're in a lower gear, the car will usually refuse to go any faster or will simply upshift into the next gear for you. In any case, 50 miles an hour in third gear is not excessive. You'll definitely use a little bit more fuel at that speed in third gear, but by no means have you done any damage to the car, Scott. Good luck. Yeah, that's interesting since I drive cars both with manual transmissions and automatic transmission. And I do from time to time use the manual shift option on the automatic transmission in my Toyota pickup truck, especially if I'm in a mountain and I'm trying not to ride on my brakes. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for the car show today. My name's Jeff Wine. We'll meet you back again on the radio next Sunday. And you're listening to Sun Sounds Radio of Arizona.